don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your host, Boyd and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back.
I gotta do right before they call me home. Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show. Today is June 8th, 2011. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. Our topic is, as always, the Streets Don't Love You Back. Join us every Wednesday night with real people, real stories, and real changes as we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have a great show for you tonight. We have Mr. Mo Segal. He's one of the nation's leading authorities on empowerment. He's a motivational speaker, and he's also an author with a book out entitled Against All Odds, I Can Be. So we will hear some great motivational inspiration from him tonight, as well as his story and how he got there. And before we do that, let me introduce Boyd to the show.
Yeah, I just want to thank everybody for always tuning in on Wednesday, and I have a few announcements later on, and we'll go to our guest now.
All right. Welcome to the show, Mo. We'll go ahead and let you introduce yourself.
Well, thank you guys for having me. As I always say, you know, I'm Mo Steele, and I'm really just a country boy who likes grits, scrambled eggs, and cheese, and beaded Michael Jackson coats with the pockets on the sleeve. So that's me, born and raised in Atlanta, Georgia, and I just love what I've been positioned and called to do.
Right. And you grew up in Atlanta, you say?
I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia, born and raised in the housing projects of Harris Home, which for many who don't know across the country, that's when you come to Atlanta, you visit the historical Morehouse College, Spelman College. It's right across the street from them.
Okay. And, you know, we always try to take people back to their childhoods and let us, you know, tell everybody how they grew up. What are some circumstances that you grew up with, and what were your goals as a child?
Well, you know, as a kid, we were poor, but I didn't really know we were poor, you know, because my mother always made sure we wasn't a typical poor family in the housing project that we didn't have food. Our refrigerator and pantry stayed stocked with a number of different things. And so we were hungry. The only thing we didn't have is I didn't have a whole lot of clothes and material stuff, you know. So, you know, when it came to that, that's when you knew you really didn't have it as well as everybody else around you have it. And, you know, for those who don't know my story, you know, as a kid, from kindergarten through high school, my mother bussed me an hour and a half out to a more aristocratic community. I mean, I went to school and the neighborhood where houses were in excess of $1 million and more. And a lot of my friends' parents were together. They were doctors, lawyers, business owners. And so it was a whole different world for me by day than it was for me by night when I had to come back home from school. And so, you know, my goal and some of my goals and aspirations as a kid was I just really wanted to be successful. And I knew in some way I wanted to help people, but just didn't know exactly what that was going to be. But I used to, my mother was one who was an innovator in our community, and she started a program, a governmental program that assisted different individuals with pre-government assistance. She started a choir in the community church there, and, you know, she had summer programs for underprivileged kids. And so working with her, I was like, wow, you know, I would love to be able to help people when I get older, you know, when I grow up, so to speak. And so that's kind of a little bit about my childhood and some of the goals and aspirations I had. I have to say, though, nothing I'm doing right now was a dream of mine as a kid. I never could imagine a lot of the things that the God has allowed me to do as an adult. And so, you know, that's why I always tell young people, anybody really, dreams are, your dreams are forever until you decide to give up and stop dreaming.
Right. And dreams, I mean, always change. And things come into your life that allow you to do certain things, and it just kind of works out, I guess, the way God wants it to. He has us doing things
right
that we never thought we would do. You know, I read a story about you somewhere when you were young that, and maybe this goes back to, you know, not always having the nicest clothes, and you went to a school where people had a lot of nice things, I guess. But I read a story somewhere about you that you wore canvas tennis shoes to school, and at one time you used to paint them a different color every day to match your clothes, and then you'd go home and wash them at night and change it again the next day.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's taking it back. I had these shoes. They was, you know, these white cloth shoes that were called Tree Time, and they don't make those shoes anymore. They're similar to your K-Swiss, and I had this egg paint that my mother had bought me for art class, what she was using for art class in the community at her summer program. And so I got a couple different bottles of those, you know, different colors, purple, you know, green, blue, you know, you name it. And what I would do was every day I would paint these shoes a different color to match an outfit I may be wearing. So I would decide, okay, I'm going to wear a green shirt and some white pants tomorrow, so I'm going to have these shoes be green and white. But I used to put them in the washing machine every night in order to change the color, because I had to wash off the egg paint that I had painted, because these shoes were all white. It's like a painting canvas. Now, the thing that I did not take in consideration by doing so was, after a while, I was going to wear out the material on the shoes, and so, you know, it wasn't long thereafter that the shoes started getting gaping holes in them because I was washing them every day. And so, nevertheless, and I went to school a number of times with those shoes not being dry. And so that was a whole hassle in itself.
Yeah, for sure. You know, how did the media play a role in that? You know, we get caught up a lot of times in things, especially as young teenagers, and you know, having the nice shoes and the nice clothes and jewelry and hair and all that stuff. How did that play a part in it? And, you know, what could you tell the kids nowadays?
Well, you know, I would say for me, back then, it did not play as much as a role as it plays today. And, you know, because I mentor and speak at various schools and get a chance to talk one-on-one with kids, I understand now the pressures that they feel looking at some of the things that people have, especially when you're a little less fortunate than others. So, you know, I think the media plays a really big part in why so many people are, and not just kids and young people, but people in general, why people are so enthralled by having, or what the old saying is, keeping up with the Joneses, trying to do what everyone else is doing but not having the same resources as everyone else, because we see the cars, the houses, and the things that people promote in our society today, and we equate that to success. And I just firmly believe that success cannot be equated, or should not be equated, to what kind of car you drive, the type of house you live in, how much money you have in your bank account, but it really should be determined by the goals and objectives you set and accomplish. So, you know, for those who are listening right now, you know, I know it looks good, but the old saying, fake it till you make it, doesn't really apply, because you want to actually have it. And I think that's one of the things that is kind of lacking in the African-American community, is we teach our young people that pretending to have stuff is just as good as having stuff. And I think that's the furthest from the truth, because I would rather be taught how to become a fisherman than given fish every day to eat, because after a while, you know, you're going to run out of supply. But if you're taught how to go out and really build a foundation and get the things that you desire in life, I believe the crime rate will go down, because now you don't have people trying to steal, rob, and kill for things that are just really materialistic of things, and, you know, it doesn't even mean that much.
Right, and that reminds me, too, going back a little bit, back into the 90s, with the new gangster rap and all that, we had so many people out in the streets stealing and robbing people for their shoes and their jackets. That's just crazy.
Right.
I mean,
exactly. Exactly.
People are losing their lives for their, you know, shoes.
And even now, you know, again, we have replaced, and it goes back to my shoe analogy of what I was doing. What I was doing was destroying the foundations of the thing that would hold me up during the day. And that's what society, the media, and a lot of these rappers, singers are doing with our young people. They are destroying the image of hard work. You know, back in our day, when our parents and our grandparents was coming up, we was taught hard work and to work for everything you got. Now you have people scheming and stealing and plotting just to get what somebody else has, but they don't want to go through the things that person went through to get that. And I remember speaking at a university and to a bright young group of freshmen. And afterwards, you know, a lot of the kids came up to me to ask questions. This one young guy came up to me, and I'm thinking, man, you know, I thought I did a pretty good job. And I'm thinking these, based upon the questions that preceded him, that he was going to ask me a dynamic question about his future and how to stay motivated when he feels down and how to pursue his goals and dreams. And this young man said, well, what kind of car do you drive? That was, out of all the things I talked about in that hour and a half, he was only concerned about what kind of car I drive, what kind of car I drove. And my thing to him was, well, I drive a Mercedes, but let me tell you what it took for me to get it. Okay, I was homeless. I slept in the back of a church van. I've been evicted a couple of times. I've had cars repossessed. Now, do you want to go through that? Because if you want to go through that, then you can have the Mercedes. And that's the thing with a lot of people. They don't want to go through what someone else went through to get the things that they have. They just want to come in and take it and get it the easy route. It's what we call the microwave generation. And I think that is not a blueprint to building true sustainable success.
Yeah, I just want to ask you a question and just want to say, you know, we thank you for coming on the show, and we're definitely truly glad that you was able to make it. Just would like for you to enlighten the viewers that's listening tonight, what was your turning point as far as wanting to be a very successful person and wanted to give back not only to yourself but to the community outside of what mom had started? You know, what was the burning fire in you?
Well, you know, I always had a desire to succeed. I remember looking out my window when my father would come by and pick me up, the very few times he did because he was absentee. And I would see the things, I would see the car he drove, I would see the things that he would do. And I said, you know, someday I want to be in a position to be able to be successful and do things, because I looked at where I live and I said, I don't want to live in public housing the rest of my life. And someday I want to get married and have kids, and I didn't want them to have to deal with the things that I saw my mother dealing with. And so I always had a inward desire to have better and to do better in life. And I think as I got older and began to kind of figure out in life the things that I wanted to do, and then more so the things that I had been purposed and destined to do, it made a difference in me really striving to do that. And I had I had people along the way. I mean, I remember my college professor who showed me I had a really good gift of writing. And so by doing so and having some, you know, various people come in and out your life that can show you your potential, it really kept me motivated and really helped me develop a personal endeavor within myself to say, hey, you know what? That's something else I can do in life. And the more I grew, the more I learned, the more I learned, the more I grew. And so, you know, doing some of my downtime or some of the times where I was in what I call self-discovery mode, it just helped me to know that these things that I desired as a child, as a young adult, were actually attainable. And so, you know, the more I set my mind to do one thing and then I would accomplish it, I wanted to do something else. And I've always had a huge vision for creativity. I've always wanted to be different and do things differently. And so I think that in itself has driven me, and it continues to drive me today, because there's so much more I want to do in my life.
Right, right. Well, we definitely appreciate that. And what a message would you give the young viewers that's listening tonight? You know, what would be that powerful message from you tonight?
I would say that your future is brighter than your present. And if you can get that thing on your mind that you desire more than anything, your goals and objectives are going to change at 18 than they are when you're 15. They're going to change again at 20, 22, 25, 30. And so as you continuously grow in life, always be open to learn new things. And as you learn new things, be open to grow. And so discovering that you're worth a lot now will help you not make some of the mistakes that people like myself and some of the other older people that have come before you have made. I will say to them also, as you grow and learn in life, project the things that you want to attract. You know, a lot of times people say, I want to be successful, but they're not projecting success. So project Exactly. what you want to attract in your life. And then I would say, let you project what you want to attract. Don't stop.
You know, that's...
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead. I was going to tell you, that's definitely well said, you know, what a lot of these youngsters don't hear half of the time because, you know, you got a lot of people that only know wrong, you know, because from the gate they're never taught both sides
right.
of the coin, and that there is a right and wrong, the way to do anything. And I feel once you give a child that right and wrong element, then they got choice, you know what I'm saying? Because now
right.
if they make a bad choice, they can't say, I didn't know. So it's a lot of that lacking out here in America, too. You know, our children is not being taught from the gate, both sides of the coin, you know. And
right.
that's where it starts from home. You know, you have to be taught that mentally for you can be able to achieve out here in this place we call America or anywhere on the planet, you know.
Right. And you're absolutely right. And, again, we're not taught that. They're not being taught that now, and so it makes it the playing field a little uneasy for them. You know, when we look at some of our counterparts who go on to Ivy League schools, Harvard, you know, Yale, and these different schools, they're being taught not how to go work for somebody, but to create jobs themselves, and that's what we have to start doing as a culture and society is teaching our young people how to go after the things they desire in life. Because I have a saying. If you don't go after what you want in life, you can spend your entire life settling for what you can get. And ladies and gentlemen who are listening right now, I can tell you this. Doing nothing will change absolutely nothing in your life. But doing something will change everything. That one something that you do in your life could change everything in your life for the rest of your life. And you know, oftentimes we want things in life, but we're not prepared for them. And we've been told, oh, practice makes perfect. No, preparation makes improvement. The more you do something, the better you'll get at it. And so you have to be prepared in life. I have a saying, I stay ready so I don't have a need to get ready. So
Amen.
When you want
opportunity, yes. I'm with that because I stay ready too. I'm ready in my sleep. You know what I mean? So when I jump up and before I hit the floor, the first thing I say is thank you, Jesus, for another day, even before the feet hit the floor. You feel what I'm saying? So I'm already preparing for a great moment, you know, because my mind is there. And that's what we have to get to our youngsters nowadays and a lot of these elders too, you know. Before them feet hit the floor, you already got to have that momentum going. You feel me? That I'm finna get up today
right.
and I'm finna do something great. I'm finna achieve something because we can all do wrong. That's the easiest thing
right.
in America. You know what I mean? But my
right.
thing is we have to know once again both sides of that coin. And it takes brothers like you, brothers like me, and other people that's speaking out here nowadays across America to put this on the flow. You know, because it's a lot that don't be said that needs to be said, you know? So
right.
I applaud you for stepping up and doing your part in society.
Well, I really appreciate it, man. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak to your audience and to educate, encourage, and empower them to go after their dreams and achieve the goals and objectives they have set forth in their life. And if you don't have any right now, I mean, you said something just a moment ago, making wrong choices. And I have to say, you know, I've made a lot of wrong choices in my life, but I have learned that even the wrong choices I've made has gotten me to where I am. And so at some points in your life, you may have to learn more from the bad choices you make. Now, you have to decide. Now, this is the key, ladies and gentlemen. Whatever choices you make in your life, be it foolish or wise, you have to be able to live with the consequences thereof. And so, you know, when you're thinking about the things that you want to do and you're being influenced by people, my good friend Hill Harper, you guys know him as the great acclaimed actor on CSI New York, he once told me, you have to surround yourself with individuals who have the same vision for you as you have for yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are surrounded by young men and women who are leading you down the wrong road, these are not the people you need in your circle. It's time for you to clean house and bring in a new batch of friends, because you need people around you who can push you to your next dimension, who can help pull you out of the hole and out of the crab barrel and to the life that you really want to live. And if you don't have any people around you who are successful and who can show you how to be successful, then it's time for you to change your circle.
And I applaud you on that too, man, because, you know, I speak to my wife about that all the time. You know, it's about who you surround yourself with is your rise or fall. You know, not saying I don't want to know people, but coming up through life, I've always tried to surround myself with people that was making something happen and that was shaking and moving, that can open up doors, that can open up another door, you know. So, like
right.
you said, you have to surround yourself with what you're trying to do and what you're trying to be. And it ain't like you ain't trying to know other people, but you ain't just trying to know, just to say I know little Johnny or little Susie. What do I know little Johnny and Susie at doing, and what are we doing together to push another element to help someone else? You know what I mean? You have to look at all of that on the flow, you know. And if little Johnny ain't doing that, I ain't just trying to say I know little Johnny. You know, I have to be surrounded with people as soon as they hit the flow. You feel me? That we off into doing something great every moment, every second. And this is something that got to be embedded in you. This ain't something that, you know, you just learn. You know what I mean? This has to be embedded in you. The fire got to be in you, and you have to
right.
be taught a lot of things to make that choice, whether you want to burn the fire or you want to let the fire stay out.
Right. You're absolutely right about that. And that's the key, too, ladies and gentlemen, is you have to want it. You know, we can't want it more for you than you want it for yourself. And I think that's the problem. We are dealing with a lazy culture, a lazy society who wants things fast, quick, and in a hurry, but don't want to put in the efforts to get it. And so that's something you have. Don't ever let that fire in you die and fall out. I tell people all the time, in order to get and stay motivated, you have to sometimes refocus on your goals and objectives. You have to reposition yourself to win. And you have to sometimes resurrect those dreams that may have you have allowed to die and burn out. And you have to literally put them on the gurney and resuscitate them. And if you do those things consistently, hey, you can be successful. There's nothing you can't accomplish in life. And, you know, when you're faced with adversity or obstacles, I call those things hurdles. And if you understand that you were created a hurler, then you know you have the ability and the tools to simply jump over those things. Now, it may not be easy. It may not be a walk in the park, but you have the strength to do it. And vision plus determination plus perseverance equals destiny.
My man.
That's right. I'm going to read just part of a quote that I have that you said, and you say, it is our responsibility as entertainers and influential leaders to educate, encourage, and empower those individuals, sanctioning them to verbalize their viewpoints and be heard. To succeed in life, you must develop a state of mind that allows you to move forward beyond your physical and mental limitations. Can you talk about that a little bit?
I said that.
Well, yeah. <You heard it. laughs>
I believe there's a generation of voiceless individuals. And, you know, when we look at our responsibilities, a lot of times, and I have this talk with a lot of my celebrity friends, is God didn't put you in the position that you're in for it to be about you. And so we oftentimes forget that as public people, that you are in a position of power and influence. And so I think, you know, unlike what Charles Barkley said years ago, that I'm not a role model, I don't believe that as public individual, you should raise somebody else's kids. But you have to understand that the position you're in, you have influence. So you have to take that into consideration when you choose your profession, because now you are a public figure and people are looking at what you're doing. They are looking at the choices you're making, and they're trying to emulate you. And so you have to be a little bit more cognizant of your choices and your decisions. And it's time for us to really reach out to this nation of people who feel under who feel like the unlikely candidate, who feel like they don't have a voice in our society or in our community, in their community, and really give them the microphone to voice their concerns, their opinions, and their thoughts, because they matter, and you'll be amazed at what you can learn from somebody like that.
Right. Yeah, if you open your ears and listen and be open to things, you can hear a lot of great things out here. Tell us a little bit about your foundation that you started. It's called I Can Be Foundation.
Yeah, the I Can Be Foundation is a 501c3 organization, and you guys can read a lot about what we're doing on icanbefoundation.org. And it was created to, you know, help and assist underserved individuals and communities succeed. And we have a number of programs and things that we have in place and a number of things that we're working on to do just that. One of my dreams as I got older and realized what my purpose was I wanted to build a help center in the community in memory of my mother, because that's one of the things she did in the community was help a lot of people. And, you know, include some things, job readiness courses, resume building, career coaching, helping people actually develop their ideas and thoughts so that they can be successful and kind of find out the finite steps and what it's going to take for them to be entrepreneurs if that's their goal and desire. Help people with medical assistance, you know, educating them. A lot of times, even including people with HIV and AIDS, we're not well educated on the advancement of medicine and different things that can assist us with some of the ailments that we have as young adults, and even our seniors. And so I just wanted to be able to do that. And so, you know, my agent gave me a blueprint that said, hey, man, we can do this. And we set out to do it, and we have partnered with a number of great organizations to, you know, do some things. Last year we partnered with AID Atlanta to do a huge fundraiser for HIV and AIDS and the AID Walk in Atlanta last year. And so, you know, this year we are launching or working on it, our I Can Be Empowerment tool. We'll come to your underserved community and assist you with accomplishing your dreams, you know, also career coaching, budget building, financial literacy. So, because, I mean, I think we get what my mom used to say, wide-eyed and bushy-tailed over stuff, and especially as young people, when you go to college, you know, it's very accessible and easy for you to get a credit card, but we don't understand what that means, us having that credit in our hands. So, you know, those are some of the things we want to do with the I Can Be, because, you know, as kids, we're all told, oh, you can be whatever you want to be. But yet, as adults, young adults, a vast majority of people are not. And it can be due to a lack of resources, opportunities, finances, education. And so that's what the I Can Be Foundation is all about, showing people that they can be successful, they can be, you know, educated, they can be encouraged during times of adversity, and they can be empowered to revolutionize their destinies.
Definitely. And that goes back to what I heard you mention before. You know, in order to succeed in anything, you have to have a blueprint, your plan.
Sure.
You have to, you know, you have to plan through the whole thing. But talk a little bit about that.
Well, you know, I believe your journey begins with you ordering your steps, having you a plan, because a plan is, I think it is a strategic roadmap that that really, you know, the old saying goes, if you fail to plan, then you plan to fail. But a plan to me is a strategic roadmap for what you want to accomplish and how you plan to attain those goals and objectives. But it sets boundaries and creates expectations, which allow you to follow a roadmap that takes you from one point to the next. And so it's very vitally important that you have some sort of plan in place to assist you with accomplishing your goal and dream, because without a plan, I can tell you right now, it's going to be virtually difficult for you to maneuver, and you'll stay frustrated, and you know, you may give up.
Right. And you know, we're glad that you're out here, because I mean, there's a lot of foundations and places where people can go for resources, but you know, sometimes they just don't know how to build that blueprint or how to plan that roadmap. And you know, we want you all to know that there are a lot of resources out here. And you know, if you go to Mo's website or our website, you know, we can send you to the right people to help you get that done. You know, whether it be education, resources for just about anything. But there's always somebody that knows a little bit more that can guide you in the right direction and help you to be able to figure that out.
Yeah, and you know, I think people take heed to that, because, you know, oftentimes we say, well, nobody's looking to help me, but you have people like yourselves who they provide this platform every Wednesday for you guys to get the information you need. And, you know, when they say go to our website, hey, go to the website, because they could possibly have links and different things to other websites that can assist you with some of the things you want to do. There is a plethora of assistance out here in America, and the government gives away free money. And I have learned when you are not privileged to the information, you know, they say knowledge is power. Applied knowledge is power. So you can get the knowledge, but you still need to apply it now. So, you know, Google. Allow Google and YouTube, allow y'all use this stuff for different reasons, but not for the things that you may need. So when you have, whenever I have an issue or I have something I'm looking to do or I'm looking for, I will go Google it. Or if it's something I need to learn how to do, I go to YouTube and type in how to XYZ, and 9 times out of 10, they have a video for it. And when you put stuff in Google, anything you need is going to come up. So make that
Amen.
Go back, you know.
Amen. So tonight we having a great, great show tonight. And we're going to take a commercial break and a song break. And we're going to be right back with our hot, hot guest tonight, Mr. Mo.
The money. The rise to power. Violence, gangs, drugs, death, self-destruction, prison. The true life story of Detroit kingpin Rob Boyd. A must-read book. This book will be available online, worldwide, to order at thestreetsdontloveyouback.name.com, at amazon.com, barnesandnoble.com, indiebound.org, and borders.com. Also available in Detroit at Harlem World Books and Videos and at Human Bookstore on Frederick Douglass Boulevard. It's everywhere, so go ahead and order your autographed copy today. The streets don't love you back.
Yeah, yeah, this the Streets Don't Love You Back. We dedicate this to all the youths across America, all those who've been abandoned by their parents and loved ones. We let you know that God is good, always. Even when no one else cares, He's there for you.
Oh,
keep your head up.
Oh, hey, the streets don't love you back. I hear grinding in a life of crime. The streets don't love you back. Show me what rules, baby, I'ma get mine. the streets don't love you back. It's only one way on this lonely road. The streets don't love you back. I gotta do right before they call me home. The streets don't
never love you.
This is Rob Boyd checking in, letting you know the streets will never ever love you back.
When I was abandoned
by my father in this world,
when I was abandoned
by the man that I thought loved me,
it took my whole life in another direction, my mind. How can you say that you love me in this world? Never did nothing for me or my mama or my sister in this world. How can you look at yourself and be proud of what you've done? Now I say to myself, as a little child, I went to the street world, and I had to learn that it didn't love me back. Now I look at life so much in a different frame, my mind. Now I know the streets will never love me back. I thank God for what he's done for me, 'cause I listen to my mama in this world. Now I tell all the children, all the little boys and girls, the streets will never love you, will never love you back.
The streets don't love you back. I ain't grinding in a life of crime. The streets don't love you back. There's only one rule, baby, I'ma get mine. The streets don't love you back. There's only one way on this lonely road.
Never love you.
The streets don't love you back. I gotta do right before they call me home.
I know my thoughts change the way your young mind think, and I know you wanna lounge, smoke weed and drink, and I really ain't all the type to give a speech or preach, but I promise God that I would do this if you get me out the street. See, when I was coming up, motherfuckers was loyal, but now they cracking under pressure when the situation boils and comes to a head. Another fork in the road. Everyone got affidavits, show their codies told. They wasn't scared to do the crime, but now these motherfuckers cowards. The county was one thing, but now it's no more private showers. It's all in the open. Better learn to be a man. Fuck all the pistol popping, yapping. Should've learned to use your hands. Went from pods, dorms, to day rooms, to mess halls and rec yards. You think you're something special? Everybody's got it hard. Penitentiary ain't like it is on TV. And a fair joint is something hope you never have to see. I don't care how tough you think you are to humble your ass. They got a room especially for you just to beat your ass. Shit sad, it's hard, raced by the streets with no dad. But going life with death impression ain't gonna never change the past. Cause
yeah, ladies and gentlemen, I like to dedicate this track to my mother, my brothers, my sister, to my man LD, his wife Holly, to my manager Lucinda, to my two sons, Michael and Robert. Dedicate this to my homeboys, the Bishop crew off Van Eyck and Harper, the Brewster Project, my man Chickaria, Warner County Project, 430 crew, Day and Fab, rest in peace. Let's do this. You live on through my vision. The streets don't love you back. One of your own made it. Now we tell the world, the streets will never love you back. Change your ways. Change your ways. Change your ways.
Hey, hey, welcome right back here to the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show with our main man tonight, Mr. Mo, and we right back with you. We want you to give out your website one more time and some contact information if organization or just some individual want to get in contact with you that want to get on the right road.
Cool. You can, the hub for me to contact me in any medium is to go to my website, which is Mo, M-O, last name is Stegall, Stegall.com. That's MoStegall.com. From there, you can connect with me on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, you name it. So that would be the hub to get to me.
My man. We so appreciate that right there, you know. So I'm going to pass the mic back over, and once again, we are just so delighted to have you at the show tonight, spreading your message and reaching the audience to help somebody.
Great.
Hey, as we go on to talk tonight a little bit about how, you know, overcoming obstacles and being able to get where you are, you know, today, You mentioned that you were homeless at one point. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what happened and how you got in that situation, how you got out of it?
Yeah, well, actually, you know, it was a few months after my mother passed away in 2000. You know, I moved to Charlotte, North Carolina from Atlanta, and I had about almost $1,000 to my name, and, you know, I was supposed to be staying with some good friends of mine, but prior to me coming, they kind of reneged on me. And so I was left staying with people who I knew. So I was bouncing around from place to place. And then I stayed with one of my former roommates who was actually staying with somebody else at the time. And I knew that place was going to be temporary because, you know, he had informed me of that when he allowed me to come stay. And so eventually that came to an end and I was left with nowhere to go. And because I wouldn't allow my pride wouldn't allow me to ask a good friend of mine to stay at his place. I ended up on the streets. And so, you know, I thought a safe place would be the church because, hey, you know, who doesn't love the church? Unfortunately, the church, as I knew, was in a not so good neighborhood. And so to find a safe shelter, I began to scour the parking lots with some of the vans that they had there. And I actually found one that that was unlocked and open. And I climbed in the back of it, and that's where I slept. How I got out of it was I eventually had to let my pride go. And so I told a former coworker of mine that I didn't have any place to go. And she came and picked me up, took me to a hotel, put me up for a few days, and then my friend, the musician who I was staying with, who was staying with someone else, he came and paid for me to stay a couple of days myself. And I think it was a day or so after then, I was in church one Sunday, and you guys know him. He's a great friend of mine till this day, but Pastor John P. Key, the great gospel singer, he gave me $1,000 in church one Sunday, and I was able to take that $1,000 and go get me an apartment. And the rest, as they say, is history, because with that new boost of confidence, I was able to revitalize one of my businesses that immediately made me money. My first client paid me $1,800 a week. And so, you know, it was enough for me to get back on my feet and get going. And I often tell people when I tell that story is, that it goes back to my saying when I said earlier to you guys, doing nothing changes absolutely nothing for you, but doing something changes everything. And that was my one act of doing something. My act of doing something was letting somebody know I needed assistance. And look what happened. So, you know, I have to say to anybody who may be dealing with that situation, you know, whether you're staying in the shelter or with friends, because I say that's two different types of homelessness. There's the homelessness like I was, where I had nowhere to go. And then there's also homelessness where you're staying with somebody and your name ain't on none of the stuff. So you are almost homeless.
Right. That's a powerful story. And, you know, it just, you know, pride gets in the way a lot of times for most people, you know, not able to, you know, I've been there where I've been stuck at something and just my pride wouldn't let me go back to mom and dad and say, I need your help. Or, you know, my pride wouldn't let me go to a friend and, you know, say, I'm in this situation, what should I do? You know, so, you know, a lot of times our pride stops us from ever moving forward. You know, we need to let that go and, you know, be honest with ourselves and be honest with others when we do need that help and when we're in that situation. The
right.
Other thing is that, you know, most people, even though, you know, they work paycheck to paycheck, if they miss a few paychecks, you know, within a month or two, you'll be homeless. You know, and I've
right.
been in that situation before. So, you know, bad situations lead to bad things. It doesn't mean that you did anything bad. It just means that you may need some help from somebody to get back on your feet, you know, just like you, Mo, and a lot of us. You know, we all go through things that, you know, if we can get through them, will help us to be a better person and a stronger person.
Right.
And go ahead and tell us a little bit about some of the things that you did after that. And I think it was after that. You were a media personality with some different shows. Can you talk a little bit about some of the shows that you did and where you went and some of the things that you did with all that?
Becoming a media personality for me, I had this dream of being on radio and having my own show. And so I had, nobody would give me an opportunity, saying you don't have any experience. I knew in my heart I could do it, but nobody was giving me an opportunity. So I decided to create my own platform. And I created this talk show that catered to teens and young adults between the ages of 12 and 23, and it gave them a platform to voice their concerns, their thoughts, and their opinions in a sociable environment. And, you know, we would have different celebrities come on, and the first show I did was at this high school that let me use their theater, and we created a talk show setting. They built the set for it. You know, we got some local furniture vendors to donate services, goods, food from grocery stores, and we really put on a really big show. We got a local church to donate their media equipment so we could film the show. And that was the springboard for me. The very next day, we invited media out to the show as well, the taping. And the very next day, the show made the front page of the paper. And from there, it was smooth sailing. You know, a few months later, I was sitting in my office and got a call from Al Roker from the Today Show. And he sent some producers down to follow it. And I'm telling you, it's, again, a lot of times we have dreams and things we're going to do, and it's what I call, we talk ourselves out of attempting to do those things. We look at what we don't have and say, well, I'll never be able to do that. Well, I did not have any experience. I didn't have a clue as to how to produce a show, but I knew what I saw in my mind and what I wanted to do in my heart. And so sometimes just doing something, and I pulled in people. I pulled in from the church. I pulled in their media director. I enlisted the services of different colleges in the area who had students who were mass communication majors, and they volunteered to shoot and produced the show. I engaged the kids at the high school. You know, I invited different high school departments in the area, and they sent kids over. They sent kids over, seniors who could drive themselves over. And I'm telling you, I got on the horn and invited some local and national celebrities who lived in the area and created a theme for the show. And I'm telling you, it was amazing. And I look back on those humble beginnings now, and I say, hey, had I done nothing, nothing would have ever happened for me. And I can say today, that show went on to become a staple in the community in that city. It also has been seen now in 30 countries. And I'm telling you, that's why I firmly believe your dreams are forever until you decide to give up and stop dreaming. Nothing can stop you from really achieving your goals but you.
Right. And in order to get that show off the ground, you had to go out and ask help from a lot of people to make it successful. So people have to realize that you do have to ask. And I mean, if you never ask, you'll never have or you'll never get, because you know nobody knows what's on your mind.
Exactly, exactly. And you, I mean, nothing you do in life. I know people like to tell you, oh, I'm independent. I did all this by myself. Nobody is successful on their own, all by themselves. Bill Gates would not be, he would not have held the reign as the richest man in the world for all these years without a team of people assisting him, even from the beginnings of starting and creating Microsoft. So, you know, when you look at a lot of the people that who have come before you who are successful, somebody assisted them to get to where they are. And so you have to do the same, is don't be afraid to ask people for help or delegate and enlist the services of people, because you don't know everything. And some people are stronger than other in areas that you're not strong in. So when you guys work together, you'll be amazed at what you can create.
Amen. Amen. And right here, Mr. Moore, I just want to ask you your dealings with radio as well and television with the BET Hip Hop Awards and the CMA Awards. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh man, another host of wonderful opportunities that came our way. You know, BET. I've been the BET Hip Hop Awards now a couple years, and each time it has been a joy. Last year, I had the opportunity of hosting with their Style Suite, and again, these things came about because I was not afraid to test the waters and push the limits. I did not see anything as a hindrance to me but myself, and I often ask people, what do you do when your problem is you? Some of you guys who are listening right now, you're not moving to where you want in life because you're holding yourself back. You're afraid because you feel like you're not going to attain that goal or that dream. And that has never been me. I've gone after all the things that I want in life. I've had some moments where I was afraid, a little timid, but, you know, you pull it together. And, you know, being able to stand on that red carpet, the BET Hip Hop Award, especially my first year, which was 2007. It was the year T.I. got arrested. And I'm telling you, you know, being in that atmosphere and seeing all the people and meeting all the different people, it was a dream come true for me. And so, you know, the CMA is the same way. You know, the organizers out of Los Angeles, you know, I can't even remember how I met them, but you know, that was a great opportunity for me to come in and do some commentary as well. And so, you know, again, you have to go after the things that you desire in life because I'm not a settler. I have never been a settler, and I don't think I'll ever be a settler. So you have to just literally go after the things you – don't settle for what you can get. Go after the things you want in life. And you will find out – you will probably attain a lot more than you ever expected.
Oh, ain't no mystery, you know, and that's what I speak to any and everybody, you know. If you ain't trying to make it happen, you ain't going to just knock at the door, you know. When you're trying to build a solid foundation, you're building it from the ground up, and then you're moving forward. Now it's time to meet, now it's time to connect, now it's time to do all of that, you know, once the foundation is solid. So everybody totally has to understand that as well out here, you know. Once that's built, then it's time to connect and deal with all the right people. Surround yourself with good people that's knowledgeable, that's real, and that's trying to move ahead just like you is as well, you know?
Right,
so we definitely
right.
appreciate that too, Mr. Moe, you know? Any shout-outs you'd like to give anybody, Moe, right now while we are in the groove?
Well, I just say to any and everybody listening, man, I just want to say to you, that you are what God said you would be, and all you have to do is start believing what he said you are. And life could, I mean, literally, overnight be a whole different ball of wax for you. And you know, that's it, man. You know, everybody that supports the I Can Be Foundation, I really appreciate and love you. And any and everybody who's ever supported me, all my Facebook followers, Twitter followers, I really just appreciate you guys because you're real, and I appreciate you guys for doing what you're doing because so many people need what you presented, this platform that you presented and created for them.
Hey, we sure appreciate that, Mo, you know what I'm saying? And we definitely appreciate what you are doing as well, and you're doing a great job at, like I say, not only helping yourself, but you're helping others and you're giving back. So you letting that trend be known, you know, each one reach one, teach one, help one, you know. So
right.
We're definitely feeling that as well, man, you know.
Well, thank you so much, man.
Mo, can you talk a little bit about, you say success is not microwavable, and that's definitely a true statement. But so many people expect overnight changes and to become a success overnight, and, you know, a lot of us that have accomplished things realize that it does take time to, like Rob said, build your foundation and then move outwards. But what can you tell the people that expect overnight success and I guess what to look forward to when they're trying to achieve something?
Well, I say, you know, back in the day, grandmama, big mama and them, you know, they slow roasted a lot of the meals. You know, my grandmother used to put meals in the oven in order to savor the flavor and make the meal rememberable. And mm-hmm. I think with success, right, you know, I think with success, there's certain things in life that with our new age of technology, YouTube, blog sites, it's certain things that you can do and be successful immediately. But once you get to that platform, you have to have a foundational principle in order to sustain it. And that's one of the things that I say about these reality show personalities is they figure because they appear on a reality show that they're a celebrity now and they demand all these things and now they're just larger than life. But you don't hear from a majority of them. I would say over 80% of them long after their series has ended, and especially if it's not picked up. So you have to have a certain element where now you may have had some successes or some things that may have been catapulted into the spotlight overnight, and it's been microwavable, so to speak. But your long-term career, you're going to have to slow oven roast that because you want to savor those flavors and those moments and those opportunities that you have so that you can create other moments and other opportunities. But if you here today and you gone tomorrow, then, you know, that's the thing with a microwave meal. Those meals are meant to be quick and disposed of fairly quickly. So if you want to microwave your success, you won't be around long term, and then you'll be the person, you'll make money today, but 5-10 years from now, you'll be broke.
Right. Definitely. You know, that's what people don't realize. It takes 2 to 5 years to build a business, you know, and the ones that do happen overnight usually, you know, probably won't last. When you work for something and you take the time to work for it and build it and nourish it, you know, you tend to hold on to it and make it grow.
Right.
Definitely.
Exactly.
That pot roast will not taste the same in the microwave as it will in the oven for several hours.
You better tell them. They don't understand that. You can't microwave a pot roast. I mean, come on, y'all. You gotta slow oven roast cook that girl.
That's right. Can't make no macaroni salad in there either. You have to do that from
right,
scratch.
Exactly. Certain things you cannot put in the microwave. You're absolutely right. Have you ever been to a cookout and you put your plate in the refrigerator and then you just go slap it in the microwave? Well, everything on that plate can't be microwaved. So you have to take the things off that can't be put in the microwave and heat those things that can be readily accessible and eaten fairly early. And so that's how you have to do with your life and your road to where you want to go. You got to understand the things that you can't microwave.
That's right. Tell us a little bit more about some of the things that you've been doing. I know you've gone out and talked to some schools and some churches and different events. Tell us a little bit about those.
Well, you know, a couple of years ago, 2008, I had a grand opportunity presented to me to travel the country with Hill Harper and UNCF and the Wachovia Foundation on the HBCU Empowerment Tour. And from that, last year I was named the Youth Empowerment Ambassador for the National Urban League's I'm Empowered campaign, which was fantastic. You know, we enlisted the services of a lot of celebrities and, you know, we filmed a lot of commercials. And I was able to travel the country informing, engaging, and educating people about health care, about employment, about housing, and about education. And it really made a huge difference in a lot of communities. I had a chance to meet a lot of people. And this year, I was named Celebrity Ambassador for Operation Hope. And so John Hope Bryan and all those people over at the Hope Foundation, Operation Hope Foundation, you know, we are looking to engage and bring people a little bit more aware of the high school dropout rate. And it's myself along with Tyrese and man, what's this guy? The Vic producer that did Michael Jackson Thriller. What's his name? I don't even know how I'm forgetting his name right now.
Quincy Jones.
And as well as Ambassador Andrew Young. And so, you know, I have spoken at a few schools for them. I spoke at the Coretta Scott King Young Women's Leadership Academy, which was a school of nothing but girls, and they're trying to teach them how to have dignity and respect for themselves. And so, you know, we're excited about that, Banking on Our Future, which is another great program that Operation Hope has. And so, you know, we're very excited about that and a number of other things. I will be, starting in September, working with Mentoring USA out of New York. And so, you know, just really excited about making a difference in the lives of young people in our underserved communities, because it's so desperately needed. And we need more people to join the forces and actually get on the team and make a difference as well.
Right. We'd definitely like you to join our personal website as a friend and put your information up, just so that there's another resource that you know, people can reach out to, you know, when they need some help or some assistance. You know, there's a lot of things that you have, you know, that you can, you know, put out there as far as resources for people when they're going through something.
Will do, definitely.
Okay, we definitely appreciate that as well. And we just want to say right now we're going to go to another commercial, and we're going to come right back with Mr. Moe.
This guy that we knew, we gave him some meth and he went to shoot it up, and he died. We left his house, and a few weeks later we found out that killed him. Like, he was up in his room and his dad went up there and he was dead. My name is Bob. I'm 16 years old. I started doing meth when I was 9. I regret when I was on meth giving it to little kids, like 12-year-olds and stuff, selling it to them. I regret, like, helping cook it. My little brother sees it, like, when I'm doing it. He sees it sometimes, and I think he doesn't know what it is, but I think he thinks it's, like, a cool thing to do, and you got to be grown up to do it. I tell him how bad it is and tell him that it really ain't that cool, and just try to explain to him that it's not fun, that it'll ruin his life.
Brought to you by the Arizona Meth Project.
All right. Welcome right back here to the Streets on Lovely Back Radio Show with our main man tonight, Mr. Mo. Mr. Mo, I just wanted to ask you, you know, I was reading a little something here about your college program that you're involved in. You know, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, my college program, you know, when I go speak at colleges, they want or they look for a couple of different things. And so, you know, we created something that we felt like would assist us in really driving home the messaging. Because, I mean, I went to college, and for those who attend to college, you know, that could be a different life and transition for you. And it all depends on how you were brought up. You know, a lot of people who may have been confined as young adults, when they get to college, they lose their minds. And so, you know, with our college program, we strive to help you, you know, understand that you were designed to win. And this is a great place for it. I was not the best college student. Matter of fact, I wasn't a good student at all throughout high school, through school. It wasn't until I got to college that I realized that I had a great opportunity. And if I applied myself, there's a number of things that I could do. And so, you know, we want to help young people understand that they were designed to win, and give them some practical tools to remove obstacles that we feel prohibits growth and development, as well as how to get the best that's already in them out of them. You know, I think so many people don't understand that they have leadership abilities on the inside. And so that's one of the things we also work with them on, is how to locate their internal mechanics and excel in school and life. And so, you know, I believe that we must be very intentional in finding our passion and persistent in pursuing our purpose. And so that's what we do, was one of the things that we do when we go into colleges. And sometimes people request something totally different. So, you know, it just depends on the people.
All right. That sounds great, you know. And can you give us a little more information to the audience about when you speak to the youth at your I Can Be Foundation? You know, if someone want to join that foundation, give them the information about that as well.
Well, the best way to get involved with the I Can Be Foundation is to go to the ICanBeFoundation.org. We have a contact form that we want you to fill out so we can have your information, contact you, see where you are. You may be somebody that want to assist with the I Can Be Empowerment Tour when we come to your city. And so, you know, go to that site, ICanBeFoundation.org, and fill out that contact form so that we can have your information and someone can contact you.
All right, that sounds great, Dan. We're going to pass the mic over.
Can you tell us a little bit about the empowerment campaign and, you know, tell us what you talk about and what you teach people about how to empower themselves?
Well, you know, the I Can Be Empowerment campaign is, and I'm really glad you asked me about that because I think so many people need what we have with that particular program. Well, I don't know if you were really going to call it a program, but with that empowerment movement. And so, as I said earlier, one of the things that we do with that thing is we want to assist you, and I think our goal is to inform, inspire, and ignite these teens and young adults and underserved communities to take control of their destinies, whether that be a financial destiny or your career destiny, whatever the case may be, and really maximize your full potential. And again, we do this with this through interactive tools, empowerment portals, panel discussions, and really positive media. You know, we have a couple different phases and facets of this particular campaign. And so, you know, when we come to your city, it can be a large scale, it can be a small scale. But, you know, because in our research, we find that, and that's one of the reasons why this campaign has been designed, is to positively impact some negative trends in our societies, such as increase in dropout rates. We have found that 1 in 3 high school students drop out of school, which is 50% of that population are African-American and Hispanic. With the market crashing years back, there's a high unemployment rate. So we figured 1 in 5 African-American males 20 years or older are without a job. There's also an increase in violence within teens and young adults within that demographics, poor life choices, you know, and this is another health statistic. Every hour, 7 people contract HIV. 4 out of 7 are people of color. And then finally, people not realizing dreams are not becoming reality. Over 70% of the people that we polled believe that a lack of education, confidence, and motivation factors into their personal goals not being achieved. And so we believe early intervention can have a positive impact, and that's why we have created the I Can Be Empowerment Campaign, and that's why our objective is to create a social environment to deliver a one-of-a-kind experience in which people who participate will be educated, they will be encouraged, and they will be empowered and enthralled to become. So we want to take you from simply being or dreaming about the things that you desire in life to actually becoming those things.
Definitely. And we know that a lot of those kids that that don't finish school are involved in gangs, drugs, teenage pregnancy. And what would you, what can you tell the parents out here about maybe influencing their children and, you know, to stay away from the things that are going to keep them from their education?
Well, I have to say, you know, as a parents, you have to be more engaged in your children's, in your child's life. You know, you often hear parents saying that they're their child's best friend. No, you're their parent. And you have to always remember that, you know, being a parent should trump anything else that you are looking to be in your child's life, because there are going to be times where you can't be their friend, their best friend. You got to actually be their parent. That's what you was created and designed to do, is be their parent. And so, you know, start monitoring your children's friends, you know, what they're doing on their Facebook. And, you know, if you're under 15 years old, you shouldn't even have a Facebook. I'm even, you know, a little leery about you being 15 years old and having a Facebook, but, you know, yeah, start monitoring. You know, we as parents, I know my nephew who's 9 years old. I got two nephews who's both nine years old. My sister's son, he wants a cell phone. And I'm like, well, at 9, 10 years old, why do you need a cell phone? Outside for an emergency, and that's the only thing you should have. But we have to start monitoring their phones. If you are giving your kids phone at an early age, then you need to know who they're calling, what's being transpired on that phone, but keeping a better watch. I mean, a lot of times, especially in underserved communities, you have parents who are young, and so, you know, they're trying to still live their life. The moment you decide to have sex unprotectedly, you have now given up your right to think about you. When you become pregnant and you have a child, it's no longer about you. So you can't live, you can't be the young girl that you want to be or the young man you want to be, because now you have another person, another young little person that's dependent on you. So you have to now be a parent. So, you know, it's time out for you to be you. Now, I do say this, your dreams or you becoming something in life is not over because you have a child. But, you know, you now only thinking about you and not how your choices affect your child is the difference. So, you know, you can still pursue your goals and dreams, but those things have to be done with your child in mind. So be more engaging and active in their lives.
Right. And going back to education, you know, we talk about this a lot because education, you know, is mandatory for you to succeed. You know, you need to know how to read and you need to know how to write. And you need to know at least basic math. But, you know, there's so many people that we hear and have talked to that have been in prison or come out of prison, and, you know, they didn't know how to read or write when they went in, and they were, you know, young adults. And, you know, they spent that time in prison learning how to read and write. Some come home to do something with it, some don't. But, you know, we just stress that, you know, education is the key to everything that we do in life. And like you said, knowledge is power. And with knowledge, you're able to grow in so many different areas. And, you know, just what could you relate to that?
Well, I mean, I am definitely in agreement to you that knowing, having the information, and knowing what to do with the information is the key to progression or lack thereof. And so you have to, as a individual, understand that it doesn't matter at what point you get it. When you get it, doing something with it. And so, you know, education is very important. I am a believer of continuing education. I don't believe that college is, everybody is made for college. I don't believe that everybody's made for a 2 or 4 year institution of higher learning, but I do believe in you needing to know what it is that you want to do in your life and how you do it. I mean, people, when you say education, people equate it to school and, you know, I got to go to this college. And yeah, but you can take some classes online. You can take some some community college classes to learn the things that can assist you in pushing your agenda further and you really getting closer to achieving and attaining your goals. So you don't have to necessarily go sit in somebody's college or classroom every day, all day. But I do believe if you want to be successful in life, you have to know what you're doing, and that's going to require you having some form of education, whether you have a degree or not.
Right. And like you said, there's always classes. I mean, if you're working towards, you know, photography, there's always, you know, free community classes or probably a minimal cost, you know, community college class or different things like that. But definitely there's a lot of things out here to support you and to help you to grow. I'm going to go ahead and turn the mic back over to Boy for a minute.
Yes, yes, right back with our main man, Mr. Mo. Yeah, we done definitely had a great, great show with Mr. Mo tonight. And just want you to just give him your information one more time, Mr. Mo, because we're going to continue plugging that, you know.
Well, I appreciate that. And, you know, radio is repetition. I learned that a long time ago. So definitely you guys check me out on my website, mostegall.com, mostegall.com, and connect with me on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, or YouTube. And you can watch videos of me speaking and different videos of me at the BET Awards and all the stuff I've done right there on that website, mostegall.com. So go check it out right now. Even you can even buy my best-selling book there. So be sure to log on right now and check it out.
Right, right. You heard that, ladies and gentlemen. You heard that from the man himself, Mr. Mo. We want y'all to go ahead and log on to his website right now, see what he got going on. And we definitely want Mr. Mo to log on to the streetsdontloveyouback.com when he get off and join the family and become a member, and then you'll be in the loop where you'll be receiving all the information as well at when we are making moves. And if you can be there, if we're in your town, we can make that happen, and we can just continue the message and the platform that we all have set, you know, to give back and help the youths and others.
Right.
No doubt, you know. So I'm going to hand the mic back over to the missus. And, well, let me give my last little announcements right here. Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, to check us out, the new books, Never Hit a Woman and The Streets Don't Love You Back. You can grab them books at our website at thestreetsdontloveyouback.neem.com. And also, I want to give a shout-out to the people that receive our newsletter in the federal and state prison. So we want to give a shout-out to all the women in the prisons that receive our letters, all the men in the federal and state prisons who receive our letters and everything. And I just wanted to say one other thing. We received a letter from one of our inmates, and they are trying to get this deal back on the floor with these drug laws, you know, with no violence in it. So we asking you to, you know, Google and search that information and see where you can be of help at as well, or write in your Congress or whatever with these strenuous drug laws. You know, people ain't committed no murder, no nothing. And the murderer, you know, he's out on the street within 10 years, you know. Not saying, you know, if you do that, you know, some people do it and it's justified self-defense, but some that just out here tripping, you know, and then you back out. So let's look into that for the ladies as well, you know. And also I want to give a big shout-out to Mr. Brian Duval Gambino, and the Streets Don't Love You Back movement is working with his ministry, Second Chance Ministries. So we want to just show big love and big thanks over there to their organization. And I also want to give a big shout-out to Mr. Michael Franzinzi, and check his book out, and it's called I'll Make You an Offer You Can't Refuse. So we ask you to Google that name up as well. Michael, last name, Franzese. Title of the book, I'll Make You an Offer You Can't Refuse. And then we got another powerful story coming August 10th with Mr. Phil Anthony Hall, and his book is coming, and it's called From the Bullet to the Bible. So we just want to give a big shout-out to all of them right now. And I'll turn the mic over to the missus. And we got one call on the – we got two callers on the line, and she might – they might want to say something to you, Mr. Mo. But here go the missus. And thank everybody for joining in tonight.
All right, we're going to go ahead and get these two calls here quick before we end the show. We're going to bring on Miss Yolanda if she's there. Yolanda, are you on the line?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah, we can hear you now. Hey.
Oh, hey, how's it going?
Hey, it's going pretty good. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm just enjoying the show as usual, and I wanted to first, before I ask you a question, Mr. Mo, is just to tell Lucinda and Boyd, I really enjoyed reading that newsletter. I'm so glad you thought of me to mail it to me because LaFayle didn't know that you had a little write-up in there about him, so I mailed that to him as well. After I read it from cover to cover, I mailed that to him, and he was really pleased and surprised. He didn't know that that you all had did a little write-up about him in his in your newsletter. I really enjoyed it.
Sorry, we were doing the online magazine, and we weren't really getting the word out there, so we decided, you know what, let's just go ahead and do a printed newsletter, and
right.
You know, for anyone who wants it, we'll send it to their email, and for, you know, I guess I need to get it out there a little bit more to all the guests of our radio show, because I do include what, you know, the guests and what has happened, you know, that month for
right.
newsletter.
Yes.
And then we're
right.
also, just to let everybody know, we're sending that newsletter out free to inmates. So if you have a family member that you would like them to have a little bit of reading material, just, you know, give that email to us. And sorry for the interruption. Go ahead, Yolanda.
No, that's okay. I just wanted to tell you that he was really pleasantly surprised, and he's like, well, just copy. I said, no. I said, this is a good way to recycle. I said, I've read it from cover to cover and enjoyed it. I said, so you can keep it now and share it with the kids in your center. I mean, they know you, but that's something you can keep for yourself. And he was really surprised about that. So that was really nice. Yeah, and I was just
address, Ms. Yolanda, you know, if you can send the address to us, and I'll, you know, I'm the post office man. I send out all the promotional stuff, and the wife, she's you know, the electronic woman, so she takes care of this online thing, and I'm the mailman and the promoter, so I get the packages ready to roll out. So yeah, it's a good thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I got everybody on my list, and I put you right on our list when we received your letter, you know. So I put your address right on our mail-out list, you know.
Oh, yeah, I really appreciate that. Yeah, I just wanted to ask
Mo.
Thanks a lot. I wanted to ask Mo, I was listening to your when you were talking about planning, and I'm just such a fan of people who you know, motivate, and being a teacher and being – that comes with part of what we do. I've worked in junior college, you know, and then worked down for elementary school, and, you know, and being in a place where you know, people are different, and especially when I work with underserved youth, so, you know, that age range from 19 to 25, and when you tell them, when you emphasize planning or having a plan, having a strategic plan and sticking to it, it would work for me. When I do my, I learned to plan with flexibility, meaning when you start running against a roadblock or a hurdle and you jump the hurdle a few times and you come in on the same thing, you know, it's okay to change direction as long as you still plan on accomplishing something. And I want to know how you, explain that or sometimes put that in your talks to youth, because a lot of times people give up too soon. You know, something doesn't work out, and they just quit. You know, as I tried, and I had my plan, I wrote it out, and that didn't work. But sometimes the universe steers us in a different direction, and sometimes it's, you know, it's better than we thought if we can just, you know, be open to it. So I was just wondering how you carry that across in your message.
Well, you know, I normally try to convey to people that a number of the things that I have accomplished took a great bit of time to do. It goes back to what I said earlier about the slow oven roasting. A lot of things that you want to do. You know, if I had given up on on staying at some of those things, then I would not have the results I have now. So certain things you may do in life, it may be periods in your life where you may have to put certain goals and objectives to the side for a moment, for a season. But
right.
You have to have that aptitude to pick those things back up or go back after those goals and those dreams until you accomplish them. And so, you know, because, you know, for me, there was a time where I was pursuing my goals and dreams, and then I had to drop them and go get a 9-to-5 because I had to pay the bills.
Right.
Sometimes that's life, you know. So
yes,
you have to – yeah, you have to be able to quickly make adjustments and adapt to life
yeah.
that's going to
yeah.
occur in your life. And so in doing so, you know that this – it may be delayed, but it's not denied. So
right.
it will only stop if you decide to quit. And,
right.
again, there's no quit in me. And I will encourage people that's listening right now that don't allow quit to be in you. To me, this is my saying. Losing is simply not an option for me. It may be for somebody else, but for most people,
mm-hmm.
losing is not an option. I have to win. So
right.
it doesn't matter if I win today. I may lose the fight today, but I will not lose the battle. So
absolutely.
I will be back.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great to hear. I was just wondering, because a lot of people that I run across, I'm an individual who was given up and has already been to the dark side, meaning jail at a very young age. Now, this person, mind you, you know, they're very aware of their situation and very aware of the consequences. I said, so what are you telling me? Why are you telling me that you're going to do that? Just because you couldn't find a job because of your record or because of something you did. I said, if you got caught again doing what you're doing that got you there the first time, how long do you think you'd have to wait before you get a job again? You know, I said, so,
right.
you know, why do you feel the need to, you've given up too soon? I said, do you know, you don't have bills to pay, you're living at home with mom and dad, what is it that you think is missing from you? That you would just resort to that, you know. It's like you said, they want the quick and easy, you know. So remember, it was because of your record that may be taking you longer, you know, to find something. I said, but just think, if you go back locked up, you know, you'll be waiting a very long time. And so I just find with people, they just, I don't know, and I guess it's that this their path or their patterns or whatever. But you know, it's just hard for me to speak to that when someone asks me. And then, you know, they're ready to just give up so quickly.
It's their mindset. You know, I often say to people, if you change your view, you
mm-hmm.
will change your direction. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, what I mean by that is change. This is the thing. And I do, for those who got Blackberries, you know, shoot me an email, askmo@mostego.com. Shoot me your BlackBerry pen, because I have what I give out. It's called a power pill every day. And
mm-hmm.
my power pill today said, it's not where you reside that will determine where you go in life. It's how you think about where you are that will either catapult you to a new dimension or silence your dreams, sinking them into a barrel of quicksand, diminishing your hopes and killing your destiny. You have to keep running. Now, one of the things that people don't understand, ma'am, and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Texas, right outside of
okay.
Houston.
All those in Texas. I was in Houston, Texas not too long ago at the Benji Academy, speaking
okay.
to those young people. But one of the things you have to understand for my men and women who may have made some not so good decisions, and it landed you in a place that you are confined, so to speak. You
mm-hmm.
have to understand that it was your choice to do what you did that got you in that situation. Now you have to make another choice to do what's right to keep you out of that situation. Because if you are given a second opportunity, you are released from confinement, and you're given a second opportunity and you do nothing with that opportunity, you don't have a plan, then you're going to blow that opportunity. That's
right.
Point blank serious. If you don't have a plan
right.
when you are released, you will blow that opportunity, and now that opportunity is going to go to somebody else. And so now you have to make the most of every situation. Stop crying about the fact that you have a record nobody wants to hire you. That is society, but you do have the ability to change how people view you. And you have to change how you change how they view you is by you changing how you view yourself.
Exactly. And, you know, many times I ran across this, and I know you probably have too, that Victor Hansen on his website gives a free copy of As a Man Thinketh, So Is He, and written by James Allen. It's a classic piece of wisdom. And, you know, it's you. You're the creator of your destiny, and it's not what people see when you come up there. It's how they are already picking up on the attitude of how you feel about yourself. You're projecting. We're all projectors. You know, and if you can go to that website anytime, asamanthinketh.net, and download that free ebook. You know, because every reader that you have reads Adobe Acrobat, and it's, right. It's just timeless, and it's just over and over again. You have to change the way you think, and it's not that you know, a lot of people don't even spend any. We're so stimulated from the outside. Because I even you know, I don't know about you, how much. Or do you about turning off the media sometimes, turning off the TV? Because a lot of people don't even know what they're thinking about. Their attitudes that they have is something that they're picking up outside of themselves because it's something mm-hmm. that's been mushed together. It's been commercialized. It's been like, woo, you know, because now when you're talking about the pill and the and everything, because there's a pill for everything now too. So everybody's looking right. for a quick fix. No one. Somehow when they get out in life, if they have it a little tough, some of us, we you know, we don't want to see it through. We just want to give it up, take a pill. And it doesn't, life is not like that. The process of life, you know, it's the journey. You know, it's not so much the destination. When I get this, I'll be happy. If I'm with that, I'll be happy. Well, you know, Mike Dooley, when he, I don't know if you're familiar with him, when he teaches, he's a tut.com, totally unique thoughts or things. Is that what most people are looking for is happiness, but they never think about that. They think the thing is the happiness or the or that is the happiness when it's just being happy with whatever, you know, going through the journey. But a lot of us don't hear that, you know, and I don't know how you address that with people that you're speaking to, you know, because it's not a, you know, piling up wealth and all that is, you know, being happy where you are, being happy with yourself. I don't know.
Right.
For everyone, it's different, I guess. But how do you, you know, address that with people when you're speaking in groups?
Well, the journey is what wins the Academy Award. I mean, you
mm-hmm.
know, you have to understand that God designed your life to go a certain way. And it may not or will not go the way somebody else's life goes, no matter
mm-hmm.
if you try to do what they're doing. That was something
mm-hmm.
that you was created to do that only you can do. And if you don't
mm-hmm.
do it, it's going to die with you, you know. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, one of the things that we don't understand about life is we're all on a time schedule. You know, at some point, it's going to come to an end. That's one thing Les Brown says, life, you can't get out of life alive. So, you know, you either going to die on the field playing the game or you're going to die in the bleachers watching it. So you have to decide today which one of those things you want to do. I choose to die on the field playing the game because, you know, like the old saying goes, when you buy a raffle ticket, you have to be present to win. In life, you must be present in your life in order to win. So, you know, your journey is the thing that's going to win the awards for you. So you have to be able to play the role that you've been given in your life and understand that you have more control of where you go than you may think. And so if no one is giving you an opportunity, go create one yourself. If you don't know
exactly.
how to create one, you know, find out, you know, that you can
mm-hmm.
go get a library card for free and go to the library and get on the internet for hours.
Mm-hmm.
People do it
mm-hmm.
all the time, every day. So I say, stop making excuses for
mm-hmm.
where you are in life. And now you start turning those, excuses into solutions so that you can birth the things that you desire to be in life, period.
Right.
It's really, you know, the old Nike commercial says, just do it. And people often say, well, that's easier said than done. No, it's not. It's really just that simple. Some things you just have to just do. And
mm-hmm.
other things, again, you're going to learn as you grow and you're going to grow as you learn.
Mm-hmm. And you must be willing to do so. And a lot lot of people are not willing to do it. You know, what is you want if somebody, you know, and a lot of people aren't clear about what they want. Okay, if I just get a job, and then they get a job and they're complaining. Well, you think they just
right.
gonna make you? You just out of jail, they're gonna make you the CEO of the company? They owe you something. They gave you an opportunity. You walked in with tattoos all over your face and piercing, and they gave you an opportunity, and they're supposed to make you the CEO of the company just because you showed up. I mean, you know, and I don't, you know, I said, well, you have to go deep within yourself to me and find out what it is that you really want. Do you want to be happy, or you just want to complain, or you just think people should hand you things and you should lay on the bed while they hand you things? You know, what is it? Because when you were confined, nobody was handing you anything. You were just confined. You know, so you've already been there. So, you know, to me, that's just total insanity to ever want to even go back there or to do anything to go back there. For me as a lady, the idea of using a restroom in front of people would never make me, they couldn't give me $1 billion to do anything to get me confined that way, you know. So, you know, you can't make sense out of nonsense. You know, but I was just wondering how, you know, because everybody's mindset is different, and I was just wondering, you know, how you address that with individuals, you know, that you meet, and, you know, I just wanted to hear from you.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. It was a pleasure talking with you.
Well, same here.
Yeah, and, you know, like we always say, Yolanda, you know, the choices that we make in life, you know, that makes our future. So if you're going to make the wrong choices, you have to pay the consequences. And if you make good choices, then you get to have the blessings of the consequences as well.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, we have to, you know, be our own leaders and learn to make the right decisions. And going
right.
back to the education thing, you know, like Mo said, you can go to the library and
mm-hmm.
be on the computer. You can also go on the library to learn how to do different things. There's a book for everything, you know.
Right.
And you know, there's so much education that you can do teaching yourself. You know, you don't have to be in a schoolhouse in a desk and a chair, but, you know, you definitely need to educate yourself. And if, you know, there's something that you want to do, you know, just find out about it and make it work and network with people, you know, find out who's done it before and how they did it and how can that help you.
Right, and show gratitude and be grateful. I know gratitude, having an attitude of gratitude, you know, will attract more of the things you want in life than the things you don't want. And I know with some people, especially individuals living at home with mom and dad that don't have to pay bills, is that a lot of them, they don't know how to give. You know, they don't know how to selflessly give. They rarely say thank you. They don't help anybody unless it's something in it for them. And so I told them when I heard when my brothers went to AA, and I have a good friend who's involved in AA, and one of the things they encourage is service. Go out and do something for someone else. And they look at you like, what? Go out and do something for someone else. Do something for someone else. And don't wait till you get, you know, don't wait till you have enough to share. Maybe give something that, you know, when I give, what I learned from a good friend of mine, I give something that I love. I don't give anything raggedy, tore up, something that I wouldn't have or something that belongs in the trash. Give something that I would cherish and give it to someone freely. But a lot of people and, you know, individuals, everybody's have their own point of view about that, but somehow that removes you out of that selfish state, or it's all about me, or my life is, you know, it's just me, you know, and I don't know how, if you address that to any of the people you meet about giving, how the power of giving, you know, turns a lot of things around in a life sometimes that seems like it may not be going the way a person would like it to.
Yeah, you have to be willing to win.
Mm-hmm.
End of story. You just got to be willing to win.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, again, losing is not an option. So don't make it.
Right.
Don't make it. If you take losing off the table and tying
mm-hmm.
has no business sitting
mm-hmm.
at your table, you only have one option. That's to win.
Mm-hmm.
So you do what you have to do to win. And for those who in that situation, again, it's your choices that got you there. So Now you have to make the choice to do whatever it takes to make things a little different for yourself. End of story.
Right. Yeah, you have to do the work. Now, don't expect somebody else to do it when you're not willing to do it yourself. And
right.
have some kind of clear direction. And that would go with, you know, just an idea of what it is you want to do and to try to make it happen for yourself. But I really appreciate you saying that.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you calling in.
Yeah, I'm going on your page now and I see your fan page, and I was looking at was going to look at some of the things you've done. And do you have? I guess you work with a lot of celebrities, and like you said, I wanted to ask you too about the celebrity. A lot of them, I don't know that you know they don't pay attention to their actions, and there was some people blogging about, I guess, the situation with a man hitting a woman. I think it was Rihanna or Chris Brown or something like that. And people, you know, they were having this debate back and forth, and they said, well, you know what? People should just get behind him no matter what, and that's no big deal because he's hitting a woman. You know, kids, I said, but kids do pay attention to that. They see that, and people
right.
think that that's okay. That's okay because they're celebrities and, you know, that they're not, you know, and then people should, that the law shouldn't be as harsh on him because he has money as it would be on someone who doesn't. You know, and you're talking about getting locked up and getting 6 and 7 months. Well, you know, well, you can just wear a bracelet and go on tour. You're okay. But that, you know, that presents a wrong message about being accountable and being held accountable. You know,
yeah,
so I don't know if you ever had
those
situations.
Right.
I don't know if you ever had that situation where you've had to coach someone in that manner to help them to see that. You know, that you need to be accountable, especially now that millions of people are watching you and kids are, and people that in very impressionable ages, they are watching you.
Right.
You know.
And, you know, any opportunity I get to speak to a couple of people, I'm a straight shooter, so, you know, I'm going to tell you just like it is, no matter who you are and what you do. And
mm-hmm.
I think when you're looking at, when you're in that position as a public person, again,
mm-hmm.
just like with, when you have a child, it's no longer about you anymore because now you influence others' decision-making process. And so now
mm-hmm.
you have to be a little bit more cognizant of the decisions you make concerning your
mm-hmm.
life because they affect others. And you have to also be accountable for the choices and decisions you do make. And so you got to stop we have to stop as a society hand-holding people of influence and people that we deem to be celebrated, and we have to really
mm-hmm.
start treating them just like everybody else because they are, at the end of the day, just like everybody else. They just have a different occupation that affords them a number of opportunities that everybody will not ever get a chance to experience in their life. And so, you know, the consequences and the actions should be the same.
Right. That's great.
Thank you, Yolanda, for calling in. We have another caller, and we're going to go ahead and go to the next caller. We appreciate all your support, Yolanda.
Well, thank you. Same here.
All right, we're going to go ahead and go to the next caller. The last 4 digits of the number is 6574. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, what's up,
hey,
bro? You on the air?
You're on the air. Let's talk it.
No, come on.
We're running out of time.
yeah, he probably just listening in, Mr. Mo. But, yeah, you know, we definitely done had a great, great show tonight. And, you know, any last words, Mr. Mo, before we close out?
I say in life, always look to make your next move the very best move you can. You know, where you are today is not necessarily where you will be tomorrow. So don't look at your right now. Always be looking at what lies ahead. And ladies and gentlemen, understand this. You know, in life you have to develop persistent habits. Persistence is the continuance of an effect long after its cause has been removed. And the habits you create must continue even when the results you are seeking are not present. So, you know, outrun the treadmill in your life. Don't allow nobody else in life to outwork you for the things that you desire. And know, at the end of the day, you have to wait on the results. But if you put in the work, the results will come. And until we talk again, I want you guys to stay educated, stay encouraged, and be empowered. And go check me out on MostEagle.com. And if you have not bought my book, you definitely want to go get it. I'm promising you it's going to change your life. I have 10 practical steps in this book that you can apply to your life today that can assist you in discovering your worth, overcoming adversity, and how you really achieve your goals. And I promise you, you don't have to take my word for it. Go to Amazon.com and look at and read all the reviews that people have written has read the book over the country, all over the country. So, you know, go check it out, and you be your own judge, and definitely pick it up. If you want to move forward to closer to where you want to go in life, this is the book for you. I promise you.
My man, we appreciate that. And, you know, I just want to give a last shout-out to Mr. Tony Knapp, new book, My Father, My Don. So we want to just give him a big shout-out as well tonight, and keep doing the great work you're doing as well. And I'll turn it over to the missus, and we'll close out for the night. And I always remember, the streets don't love you back.
All right. I would like to thank you, Mo, for coming on and sharing your life with us and sharing your expertise on empowerment and motivation. We wish you continued success in all you do, and we'd like to continue networking with you as well.
All right. Hey, thank you again for the opportunity. The pleasure was all mine, and I am so humbled to be on the stage with you guys, and I really appreciate what you're doing in our communities. And don't you get discouraged and stop, because so many people depend on what you guys are doing. So continue to do it, and continue to grow as you learn and learn as you grow as well.
Thank you. Yeah, like you say, we're in it to win it. So in all that we do, we're in it to win it. All right. Thank you, Mo. And I just want to let everybody know that next Wednesday night, our guest is Miss Sonia Sims. And she has an awesome story of, she has just survived so much and overcome it and has given her life to the Lord. But she came from a domestic violent home, molested by the age of 7, raped by the age of 14. She got pregnant. She had a couple of abortions. She got into using and selling drugs, worked as a stripper. She says she sold $800 to $1,000 worth of merchandise every week from the malls. Her family were pimps, gangsters, hustlers, and, that was her family. That's all she knew. So now she's a changed God by the grace of God, and she is going to tell us her story next Wednesday night. So we look forward to hearing her life and what she went through, and hopefully we can touch some other people out there to know that there's hope and there's change and there's forgiveness and definitely, as we're talking about tonight, you know, there's success. Make your blueprint. Get ready. Plan and you know, plan your blueprint to success. And like Mo says, success is not microwavable. So we want y'all to remember that this week. Go out and be in it to win it. Do something positive. Do something every day. Start little if you have to. Just do something positive every day to influence somebody else. And then you'll find down the road that it becomes a habit. And, people like to be around positive people. People don't like to be around negative people. So be one of those positive people in somebody's life. Help change somebody's life. And we thank everybody for listening tonight, and we will join you back here next Wednesday night, 8:30 Pacific time, 11:30 Eastern time, and we are going to go out with a song by R.V. and Struggle, You Played Yourself. Good night, and have a great week.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is B.O.Y.D. and Struggle coming straight at you, baby. Much love to my homeboys up in Detroit, Van Acker Harbor.
Much love goes out to my homeboys and sisters that's always kept it real. And to your clear haters, this goes out to you. No need to look any further. Look like brother, what you thought? Boy, record knocking you out like rubber, touching doesn't go. Made you pull up with this northern exposure, smoking doja, and I'm coming on the real. Yes, the real. I thought I told you, and I'm feeding into your bloodstream just like HIV. Stand away from all them player hating people with degrees. It's time to come up. Why do you better not brother? Because you put your faith and your plans into another man's head. That move is bold. The struggle's here to let you know this: that you never ever be a part of the dope. Who put your face in the spot? Who cooled it off when it was hot? Who made it live when it was weak? Now you can't even beat it. It's time to nut check. Time for respect. Time to break necks. You wanted out the family. Now it's time for you to check. And you chasing waterfalls that wasn't meant, fool. In other words, you played yourself. Now who's cool? Hey, girl, you played yourself. No, 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 you played yourself. Hey, girl, you played yourself. You played yourself. Hey, girl, you played yourself. Wait a minute. You played yourself because you didn't play the cards that was dealt. Partner, you played yourself. You tried to engage yourself with some people who didn't have no freaking wealth. So hide your health. Ain't nothing good gonna come out your freaking game, because everything you do bad gonna come back twice the pain. Who's to blame? Listen to the black rain. About to shake the ground for all you black stabbing people in this town. I'm known to bring the anger, make you hiss like a snake. Here's a hint from my partner.
Break it down in your face.
Hey, yo, I'm making it back up in you too. Dissect you like a chemist. You played yourself, and I was a witness. Your career is finished. Don't be misled by the words that I speak. I keep it real. You had a taste of both sides. Not how it feels.
Hey, yo, you played yourself.
No, 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 you played yourself.
I said you played yourself.
You played yourself.
Hey, yo, you played yourself.
Wait a minute. You played yourself, because you didn't play the cards that was dealt.
You can be as good as the best of them, and bad as the worst of them, but don't test me, brother. No, brother, don't test me, no.
You be like that Benedict on the backstabbing brother behind my back. But in my face, you be like struggle, yo. Where the party at? I be like push on. Get on, get out my face, partner. Cause ain't no love lost, and ain't no love here neither. I can't believe that you betrayed me. Took food from my face, but you have been acting kinda shady lately. So I got to push you to the curb, fly away like a bird. Partner, you need to stop smoking all that herb. If you would've came to me, Imano, Imano, we would've squashed it at the gate. But you chose to segregate. Play a hate, get it straight. Partner, you played yourself. No, 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 you played yourself.
Hey, yo, you played yourself.
You played yourself.
You played yourself.
Wait a minute, you played yourself, cause you didn't play the cards that was dealt. Brother, relax your mind and let your conscience be free. Get down to the sounds of struggling I'll be. Your negativity be struggling against my surface, cause the things that I did for you, your ass can deserve it. Now I'm on some payback for the things you did like way back. Answering all your questions like my name was Pat Sajak. Jesus had 12 disciples and one wasn't true. And he knew, like I knew, I never ever should to mess with you, so I'm gonna do what I gotta do and then some. If a brother try to flex, I take his life for ransom. Even when I'm by myself, I roll with a crew of soldiers, thick as fluid though. Known to turn your body black and blue, I told you, why did you test me? I'm the one who put you on, see if it wasn't for me, you'd be like a mobile phone or roam cheek. It ain't no me and us, it ain't no heat and we. I thought we would be together like OJ and AC. You were that brother I pull a trigger for, you a freaking beard for. Now you just that off-brand nigga roll. You played yourself. No, 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 I said you played yourself. Hey, yo, you played yourself. No, partner, you played yourself.
Hey, yo, you played yourself.
Wait a minute, you played yourself, cause you didn't play the cards that was dealt.
You can be as good as the best of them, and bad as the worst of them, but don't test me, brother. No, brother, don't test me, no.
Why did you test me, gangster? I told you don't ever tempt me. But now I gotta come at you for real now. You should have kept it real. But when you don't keep it real, situations sometimes get hectic in your life. But you should have understood. So why did you play yourself, player? I look at you all the time. When you don't think I see you, I see you.